Hey there, this is Emily Hoover, and we are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
We are in the fourth and final week of a series that we have called End Times, Certain Mystery. And man, in this series, we are wrestling with the events and the characters leading up to and surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. We are talking about end times. And it is a conversation that is oftentimes very confusing. It can be very controversial. And for that reason, the church has oftentimes kind of stepped back and withdrawn from it. But you asked about this, and it is something that we are constantly keeping our pulse on. And so we thought, hey, great time to have this conversation in an extended form. And this is a final week. And I just want to say there is no chance whatsoever that through the course of this series, we've answered every question you might have. We couldn't answer every question that you might have. But we do encourage you, hey, make a point to come to our MP conversations. October the 30th at our Mission Point campus, where you can bring maybe some of the questions that have stirred in you and sit around tables with other folks and just have open and honest conversations. This is something that I think just not only helps us to get to know each other as a church, but helps us continue to wrestle through this very, very relevant topic. But for us as a church, may this be something that we continue to lean into and not in any way shy away from. Then last week, I shared my perspective on what the end time sequence of events is going to be. That's where there tends to be a lot of difference of opinion, and a lot of people I respect and who think differently, you know, than I do, obviously land at different places, I trust that regardless of where we land, the primary issue for us is going to be not who's right, but who is ready. And you've heard us say that over and over again, that what matters most is not that we are right, but that we are ready. And so I share, this is my perspective on the sequence of events. And today, I'm going to share where I think we are in the sequence of events. My goal is not to convince you that I'm right. My goal is to convince you not to obsess with being right as much as to obsess with being ready. Where are we? How close do I think we are? And how significant are the different events happening in the world around us right now as it relates to the return of Jesus Christ? Most importantly, are we paying attention and are we living ready? Because that's what Jesus commanded us to do. If you have a copy of the Bible, we're going to start here in Matthew chapter 24. This has served as our anchor passage of Scripture, but we're going to put it up here on the screen as well. You can follow along that way. But let me remind you of what Jesus said when it comes to the end times. Verse number 37, Matthew 24. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man, when Jesus Christ returns. For in those days, before the global flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and swiping and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. People knew Noah was building an ark. They had heard whispers of why he was building this ark, but it just all seemed a little bit too confusing and maybe conspiratory and maybe a little bit crazy. And so they just kept calm and carried on. Jesus says, when I come back, it is going to be just like that. Most people will miss the signs that I'm giving them and will find themselves unpreparedly surprised by my return. But that should not be true for my people. Y'all should be paying attention, leaning in, and living ready. And to make sure of that, Jesus gives his people very generously a series of events to be looking out for, to be paying attention to. Jesus is saying, I am not going to be subtle. I will let you know unless you're not paying attention. And in the book of Revelation, he gives us a number of these events that we ought to be paying attention to. And we want to look at some of those here this morning. And they're going to get strange. I'm just telling you ahead of time to brace yourself. The book of Revelation, Jesus gives one of his followers, John, a vision into future events. He allows John to see things that are going to happen in the future so John can pass this along to the rest of us so we can know the events that are going to happen in the future. Why? So we would be paying attention, looking for them to help us become more and more ready for the return of Jesus Christ. One of the things Jesus says he's going to do before he returns is that he is going to sound six alarms. The Bible refers to these alarms as trumpets. And he's going to give us six of these. Warnings, sirens, alerts, if you will. I'm going to give y'all six. I'm going to count to six. And on the seventh one, the angel will sound the trumpet and I will return from heaven to earth. When you hear these trumpets, count them. There'll be six of them. Remember Noah and do not miss it. Let's look at a few of them. Let's start with trumpet number three. I will put these up on the screen. You can follow along that way. Revelation chapter 8, verse 10. Here's what it says. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star, blazing like a torch, fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. Verse 11. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. Trumpet number three. Wormwood. John says the third of the six trumpets, the six warning signs, is going to be this massive star that looks like a torch. A big flame. Apparently, this fiery, massive star has a name, and its name is Wormwood, which is a strange name for a star, if you ask me. That fiery thing, he says, is going to fall from the sky, and it's going to poison a bunch of rivers and water sources, and as a result, a bunch of people are going to die. And Jesus says, pay attention. When you see that event take place, note it. Three sirens have gone, three to go. So, all that to say, be on the lookout for falling torches out of the sky called Wormwood. Trumpet number three. Trumpet number five. Let's jump a couple. And I just want to say, by the way, this is your Bible that I'm about to read, that you believe. Your scriptures behold the word of the Lord. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. The star was given the key to the shaft of the abyss. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose up from it, like smoke from a gigantic furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss, and out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like that of scorpions of the earth. Verse 7. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold, and their faces resembled human faces. Their hair was like women's hair, and their teeth were like lion's teeth. They had breastplates like breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was like the thundering of many horses and chariots rushing into battle. They had tails with stingers like scorpions, and in their tails they had power to torment people for 5 months. They had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon and in Greek is Apollyon. That is the destroyer. Trumpet number 5. Smoky grasshoppers. This is your Bible. Jesus says, I'm going to sound an alarm, and apparently it's furnaces and smoke and grasshopper scorpions with lion's teeth and human faces with wings that make sounds like chariots. Did I mention this could get weird? And this is why, for many people, again, they're like, this is why I don't read the book of Revelation. The Lord is my shepherd. Thank you very much. I'm staying with the Psalms. This is some strange, strange stuff. And yet Jesus says, pay attention when you see fiery locusts, freaky looking, coming out of the smoke from the abyss and utter darkness, you will know 5 down, 1 to go. Yikes. I'll tell you what I find even stranger than the freaky fiery locusts is the fact that Jesus says, pay attention, because the majority of people in the world will miss these trumpets. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I am not the quickest on the uptake. But I'm sorry. How am I going to miss smoky grasshoppers? How on earth am I going to miss fiery torches in the sky? Like, how is that going to happen? I don't understand it. And yet the Word of God says the majority of us are going to completely miss these things. Wormwood, the poisonous torch. I don't see how. Unless that's his point. Maybe the trumpets are not as obvious as we would think and might require a little bit of attention. So, this morning, I am not asking you to agree with me. I am not asking you to adopt my way of thinking through things. What I am asking you is to consider maybe engaging some creative imagination if you happen to possess that trait. If you don't, I don't know. Borrow it from the person sitting next to you. Ask them if they've got some creativity. And I'm just asking you to think creatively. Let's think together. Let me show you a picture and ask the question. You don't have to answer this out loud. Do you have any idea what this picture is? Yeah. I don't know what you said, but that sounded very right and sincere. Some of my end time musings started about 10 years ago when a friend of mine told me a crazy rumor. And here was the rumor. He said, did you know that the Ukrainian word for wormwood is or close to the word Chernobyl? I said, mm-mm, I did not know that. And also, you are a very strange human being, but I'm going to humor you in this conversation. But alas, the concise Oxford Dictionary, 6th edition, Chernobyl is a Russian transliteration of the Ukrainian word, which in English means wormwood. Granted, there is debate around this, which is no surprise to me whatsoever. But I'm saying creative imagination. What if? Is it possible that trumpet number 3 was Chernobyl? Is it possible that maybe what John saw was not an actual star falling from the sky, but a nuclear power plant exploding in 1986? Deep breaths, breathe. Creative imagination. What if it looked like a fiery torch on account of the fact that it was, in fact, a fiery torch? The radioactive explosion at Chernobyl went up a mile into the sky. And when it did, the wind got a hold of those radioactive materials and sent it into Sweden, into Germany, into northern Italy, into England, so far as the east coast of the United States of America. Primarily in Europe, it rained for the next 5 or so days, taking that poisonous radioactivity down into the ground, into the water systems. It polluted the water so terribly that 125,000 people died. And 200 million other people were deeply impacted by it. I'm just asking the question. Let's put this picture up again. If that flame was a mile into the sky and you were a first century man looking at it, what would you call it? You don't know. It was like a big star or something. It was up in the sky. And then it polluted all the waters and made lots of people sick and lots of people died. How would you explain it? I'm just asking, is it possible that the third trumpet sounded in 1986? Because Jesus seems to suggest the trumpets will sound while we go about our business if we're not paying attention. Is it possible that 200 million people suffered and 125,000 people died? And those of us who are alive just went about our business because it didn't directly affect us. In 1986, we were too busy inducting Elvis Presley into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. In 1986, we were too busy celebrating the Bears, you know, Super Bowl win, to care too much or too long about what was happening on the other side of the world. What if? Let's get more creative. Trumpet number 5. Again, you may want to brace yourself or the person next to you, whether you know them or not. I always think, again, it's a great way to get to know people at church. Revelation chapter 9, verse 11, it says, they had as king over them the angel of the abyss, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek is Apollyon, that is the destroyer. Did you know that the name Saddam Hussein literally means Saddam who crushes, or Saddam the destroyer. If you are 35 and older, did you know that during the regime of Saddam Hussein, we were 12 years away from a current college senior being born? So don't be surprised if college students are like, Saddam ha who? He was the president of Iraq for a while. Not the dude you'd want to play pickleball with. Like, he was bad news bears, man. Just not the greatest guy. And he helped to spearhead a war in 1991 known as the Gulf War, or, you know, we refer to it as Desert Storm because of the operation that was behind it. When Saddam Hussein realized that he was losing the war, Desert Storm, the Gulf War, he set fire to over 600 oil wells. It was crazy. If you see pictures of this, I'll show you one. Look at this. This is a picture taken during the day, because for about 3 months, the people in that region did not see the sun. It was utter darkness as smoke continued to rise in that area. Almost like smoke emerging from the abyss. Imagine you're a first century man and you're looking at this picture, and then out of the smoke emerges a weird, creepy locust like this one. How would you describe it? On an island in Patmos. You're smoking, and some dude named the Destroyer was leading things, and then it was darkness all over the place, and then out of the smoke emerged this creepy locust. You should have seen it. Like, it's like its tail was like a scorpion, and it could, like, pew, 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 like it could do weird stuff out of it, and its face was like the face of men on account of the fact that men were flying that thing. And when you listen to the sound it made, it sounded like chariots and horses. God, that's weird. If you're a first century man, how do you describe something like that? Maybe not as creepy as we might think. I don't know if you knew they did not have helicopters on the island of Patmos. The leader called the Destroyer, smoke from the abyss, darkness, and freaky locusts. Is it possible that trumpet number 5 was Desert Storm, the Gulf War? Could be a coincidence, creative imagination. Listen to me, y'all. If I had my flags, I'd be waving the yellow flag right now. In fact, I should have worn a yellow suit today. Jesus seems to suggest that the trumpets will sound while we go about our business. Is it possible that trumpet number 5 sounded and we missed it? Because 1991, the internet was being born in this country. Weird things to do. Now, my perspective, I look at some of these events, some of these trumpets, and in almost everyone, according to creative imagination, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people suffering. 200 million people, 125,000 people died. Desert Storm, people were dying. These weren't just news headlines. These weren't just funky events in our world and history calendars. People were suffering. And the reason I bring this up is because I wonder if it isn't a major indictment if these happen to be the trumpets and we miss them because we're so self-obsessed that love has grown cold and we're not concerned about the suffering of people on the other side of the world. Because if we cared about people and the ways that they're suffering around the world, there's certain things we wouldn't miss. We would never think about wars as just something that happened, but it doesn't affect us because the NBA season just started. But man, if we had the heart of Jesus, we wouldn't miss major events in the world in which people are suffering. 3 months and they're still in darkness? No way. I can't imagine what that would be like if that was me and my family. Is it possible that we are waiting on trumpet number 6? By the way, have you seen trumpet number 6? Revelation chapter 9, verse 13. The sixth angel sounded his trumpet. And I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. It said to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." And the four angels who had been kept ready for this very hour and this very day and this very month and this very year were released to kill a third of mankind. That is a lot of people. It's one of the reasons, in my belief, this hasn't happened yet. The number of the mounted troops were twice 10,000, times 10,000. I heard their number, 200 million troops. It's very interesting, by the way. I'm always interested in John's visions and how the spiritual realm interfaces with the physical realm. Like, hey, release these angels and have the angels release this and the abyss and the name over them. And yet there were troops. And it's like, wait, are troops or angels? Like, which is influencing which? It's very interesting to think through. Verse 17, the horses and the riders I saw in my vision looked like this. Their breastplates were fiery red and dark blue and yellow as sulfur. The heads of the horses resembled the heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire and smoke and sulfur. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues of fire, smoke, and sulfur that came out of their mouths. The power of the horses was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like snakes, having heads with which they inflict injury. I don't know. If you're a first century man and you're looking at a nuclear warhead and whatever machine delivers it, how would you describe it? I don't know. It's like smoke and sulfur and fire, which had the ability to kill a lot of people at the same time. He would have sounded insane in the first century. For us, we're like, that makes a whole lot of sense. I can't help but wonder if he's not describing a global war, a war so severe that it claims a third of the world's population. About 7 years ago, one of the leaders of one of the nations in our world boasted about the fact that he could assemble an army of 200 million soldiers right then. That was the number he used. Again, I don't know. A nuclear war, nuclear weapons is the only thing that makes sense at this stage in our history to deliver that kind of devastation. And if that is possible, can you imagine how much more potent Jesus' words are? There will be wars, and there will be threats of wars, and nations will turn against nations. John says this massive war, which again, to me, sounds like World War III, whatever that looks like, begins at the Euphrates River. Or around there. The Euphrates River runs along the border of Syria and Iraq, and it ends at the base of Iran. But which is being created, because there's no way that God and Jesus would know these events of our current affairs ahead of time. There's just no way. When we first talked about this 7 years ago, the Iranian leader at that time was calling for the annihilation of Israel. 7 years ago. Talk about a threat of war. 2 days ago, Israel launched an attack on Iran. Last year, the 7th of October, Hamas attacked Israel. I said to you at the beginning of this series, there are two major things that I'm paying the most attention to. One is the emergence of the individual known as the Antichrist. The other is whatever war might emerge at the Euphrates River. You can tell me there is tension in Australia and they're all fighting. And I'll be like, okay, how should we be concerned? What should our engagement be? But the minute you tell me there is tension around the Euphrates, every single time, my alarm is going to perk up. And right now, one of the primary conflicts is happening in that area. Now, does that mean anything? I don't know. That's not the point. The point is, God, please help us to be paying attention to the things that are happening in our world. And it would not surprise me if the enemy was like, just make sure they're fighting about their election. So they're not thinking about anything else. And you're like, how did we sleep through a war happening at the Euphrates? It's because it was election season. We're concerned about whether our person is going to be in office. I'll move on from that. I'm just saying, these creative interpretations have me thinking and paying attention. Is it possible five alarms have already sounded and we slept through them, hit snooze, and we're waiting on the sixth? I'm not trying to convince you to adopt these thoughts as truth. Yellow, yellow, yellow. But I am saying, it's not just possible, it's likely that most of us will miss the warning signs before his return. And you've got to ask yourself, how would we miss things like that? Okay, this, y'all, is not a call for the church to become obsessive, and this is definitely not a call for the church to become afraid. Jesus does not give this to his church so that they would be afraid. He gives this to his church so that they would anticipate with excitement the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back. And this is where the Bible starts to take on powerful life, like it's going crazy in the world. Jesus is like, I have overcome the world, thank you very much. And I am with you. There is no reason to be afraid. It is my world. I've overcome it, I'm with you, and I'm coming back to make everything right. It should cause a church to walk around with an attentiveness and an incredible confidence. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, I love this. Peter says, the end of all things is near, therefore be alert of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Verse 9, offer hospitality. Have some people over. Give a room to somebody who's homeless. Without grumbling, without anybody having to twist your arm. Verse 10, each of you use your gifts to serve other people as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. That is the best! Like the end is near. And you think the most logical thing for Peter to say would be, so build bunkers, everybody. Freak out. Ammo up. Hunker down. And live in fear. It's like, no, no, no. Pray. Love people more than you've ever loved people before. Open wider the doors of your heart and the doors of your home. Continue to do the things that Jesus has called you to do. You would think like all of this should make us as a church start to do things differently, freak out differently, panic differently, be overly concerned about like what may happen in an election because that's going to change. Nope. That's never what he says for us to concern ourselves with. The mission stays the same. I love the three things that emerge from this, at least from my reading. The first thing he says is pray. Pray. In fact, next week we are going to spend some extended time as a church family doing just this, praying. Praying for our church family and some of the hurts going on, some of the losses going on, some of the heaviness, some of the exciting things that are happening. We just want to pray. We want to pray for our community and some of the things happening in our community. We'll be a couple of days away from the election. We want to pray for our nation and how we as a church ought to show up in those spaces. We want to pray for our country. We want to pray for our world, because what we never want to have happen is for us to sit in a comfortable space like this and talk about facts like there are 110 wars happening in the world. And we're like, oh, isn't that interesting? I wonder if that doesn't mean like, oh, no, nah, bro, I think it means something else. And we lose sight of the fact people are dying in these wars. I was tucking my daughters in last night, and it just occurred to us as we were praying, like, help them to sleep well and not to have bad dreams. Amen. There are parents tucking their kids in on the other side of the world, like, God help a bomb not to land on our house today like it landed on our cousin's house last night. And we don't want this piece of information to just be so that we can, you know, articulate our eschatology a little bit more neatly. We want this to motivate us to love and be concerned about and have our hearts broken over what's happening in other parts of the world. And so we want to pray, God, break our hearts for what breaks yours, and just allow us to have a sense of what it is you're calling us to be and to be about. So we want to pray. And I love that John says, and love. Jesus said, in the last days, love will grow cold. Love. I feel this heavy concern for the church right now, like the spirit of division is knocking at our door, and it's just trying to get us to beef with each other and have differences with each other and turn away from each other and become so distracted by who I don't like and what they did to me and all of those things that we miss the fact that the calling for us to love more than ever the people around us, the people in our communities, the people in our world, starting with the church. And so we want to pray that God would stir up our love. And we want to continue to share Jesus. Y'all, Jesus is coming back. The only hope anyone has is to hide in him, to fall at his feet and find the covering of his forgiveness, and to live with the confidence that Jesus is with me and Jesus is for me and Jesus is coming back to set all things right, and I happen to be on the right side of Jesus. I'm asking you, is your prayer life escalating? Are you loving people more, or are you being pulled into, you know, the Lipton and Snapple and whatever other tea is being spilled about this person or that person, and there's just division and tension, and this is my party and that's my party. The greatest command is to love. If anything is pulling us apart from each other, It is playing into the hands of the enemy, and we will not be ready. I don't care what your end time eschatology is. If you are not loving people more, your eschatology is wrong. You will not be ready. That's what he says. He says, I'm going to read it to y'all again because I think you may have missed it the first time. The end of all things is near. Be alert, sober-minded, so you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply. Stop the drama. Stop the beefing. You cannot be ready for the return of Jesus Christ if you are not loving each other above all. And we want to plead with God, please help us not to fall prey to the tensions and the divisions and the drama that is happening in the world around us. And help us to share Jesus. Are you sharing Jesus with the people around you? Are you telling people about Jesus, the one who's coming back? He's more interesting than fiery scorpion grasshoppers, I'm telling you right now. So Father, I beg you, in the name of Jesus, deepen our love, stir in us a greater dependence on you in prayer, and help us to share who you are with the people in the world around us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks so much for tuning into today's message. We hope to see you next Sunday. We would love to personally invite you to one of our services at 9 and 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center in Warsaw Community High School at One Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, review, and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.